Welcome to episode 15 of the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Today we're largely going to focus on the Mandalorian streaming series, currently halfway through its first season on Disney Plus, but also have a bit of a chat about some recent local store reports. Now, the Mandalorian kicked off when Disney Plus launched in New Zealand back on December the 19th, and we were fortunate that they dumped all of the episodes that had previously screened in the US onto the service for New Zealanders to watch from day one. And since that time, we've actually been fully synchronized with the US release dates, which means we've been getting it at about 9 p.m. on Friday nights, and it looks like that's going to be the case going forward, although we do know that the 7th episode is going to be released a little bit early before episode 9 movie comes out in New Zealand. And then I'll go back to its regular schedule for episode 8 of the Mandalorian streaming series after the movie comes out. I'm not quite sure what the reasoning for that is, but there might be some sort of tie-in or sort of shared marketing, or at least some shared hype around that. Now, the Disney Plus streaming service, if you're not already on it, we've covered it in depth on SWNZ, and we'll put a link down in the details down below, where we have tried to pull together all the information that we know about Disney Plus in New Zealand and how you can access it and how you can watch this new content, of which there is a lot of Star Wars material on the service, as well as a lot of other Disney movies and general good fun. There's a good range of new material and old material. It's pretty comprehensive and it's pretty competitively priced as well. If you break it down to its 1 year annual subscription, if you pay that in one hit, it's only $2 per week. So if you compare that sort of thing to DVD purchases, you're getting a lot of material for a really good price.
Our family's certainly been getting a lot of use from it. Each family member has the app on their mobile device, which means that we can all watch our favourite movies and stream them to the TV as well. We've just been really enjoying the concept of having all of the Star Wars movies in your back pocket wherever you go. Just whenever you feel like watching them, the app lets you download any of the content onto your phone to be able to watch offline, which is great for car trips and whenever you just don't want to be on the internet or Wi-Fi service, which makes this great for kids because you can sort of control what they have on their device or what they have access to.
So before we get back to talking about Mandalorian proper, I'll just wrap up that general commentary about the Disney Plus by saying that, as well as all the movies, there are a couple of, and all the most of the pre-existing TV series, animated series in particular, there is a whole array of shorts, stuff that's been online before or on other Disney channels, and each of the movies comes with deleted scenes, which is very cool to have in one easy to access place. The movies have all been scaled to 4K, so that's great if you need that resolution on whatever device you're watching it on. And as well as the Mandalorian series, we can expect more series moving forward. The Obi-Wan series we're actually starting to hear a little bit about that. We know that Deborah Chow, who has directed one of the Mandalorian episodes, is going to be leading the production of that in one way or another. And the Cassian Andor series, hopefully we'll be hearing a little bit more about that next year. But the Mandalorian series, it's going down extremely well amongst fans. And from what I've heard, even people who aren't hardcore Star Wars fans are really enjoying it. It's breaking all sorts of records. It's blown past all other streaming series in the US and more recently worldwide, even though it hasn't actually been released in large part of Europe yet. So those numbers, that audience is going to continue to grow. It's got some really intriguing features about it. We're 4 episodes into it. The episodes have been ranging from about 30 minutes to close to 40 minutes. And they'll presumably be about that moving forward. The entire time so far, Pedro Pascal has not taken off his mask. He actually has very little monologues. He's doing a lot of just acting and carrying the whole story through quite quiet scenes, and that seems to be actually working well. The pacing is a lot slower than some of the movies, but I'm feeling that actually works really well. We get to watch and really absorb what's going on without feeling pressured or rushed in any way.
I particularly like the quiet moments that lend sort of a subtle humour to the scenes. And he, even though you can't see the expression on his face, just his really great body movement, it's like a mime, but you don't even have facial expressions to work with. So he's doing that really well.
Yeah, so that's just talking about it at the highest level. Before I go too much deeper, I'll just hit on the spoiler policy that we've put in place. If you want to talk with other New Zealand Star Wars fans about the episodes, you can do so in the Facebook group, the SWNZ Facebook group, but we've got a 72-hour spoiler policy there, so don't talk about an episode until 72 hours after it's screened in New Zealand. They're screening on Friday night, so don't talk about the content of a particular episode until the Monday that follows. However, if you do really urgently want to get straight online and chat with other Kiwi fans about what you've just watched, you can do that on the SWNZ forums, because that is a format that can't accidentally show up in a social media feed or such like. So you can go to the specific spoiler quarantine thread on the SWNZ forums and talk straight away as soon as you've watched the episode, and some people aren't doing that.
Some of the episodes have sort of big dramatic moments, and it really does spoil the effect if you've already seen whatever that reveal or moment is on social media. So we like to give fans just the weekend to enjoy it on at their leisure. Not everyone has the time to stay up late on a Friday night to watch something the minute it comes out. So we just like being able to sort of enjoy it without, you know, spoiling the, you know, I am your father moments within Star Wars, because those are just fun to experience, you know, firsthand when you're watching it for the first time.
Yeah, and you're right. I think because the episodes are quite slow in terms of pacing, there's only a handful of number of things that actually happens per episode. Fortunately, so far there has been enough to keep you fully engaged. It's not like some series that we've seen in the past, non-Star Wars series, where you get to the end of an episode and you wonder what actually happened. In this case, every episode so far has actually advanced the story. But that slow pacing means that the plot is actually only a handful of actual plot points, and you know, knowing any one of those in advance can sort of disrupt your enjoyment. So that's the spoiler policy moving forward. Today, though, we will be talking about things that have happened in episodes 1 through 4.
There's also, even just beside plot points, the filmmakers have put in lots of little fun references, little cameos, a little sort of object or thing over here. It's just sort of fun to kind of spot that they really get into, you know, the backstory and just putting these little things in there that they know the fans will like. So I'm always quite sort of excited to sort of watch these little bits and notice more when I rewatch the episodes.
So we're 4 episodes in. We had the big intro episode, which covered quite a bit of detail. It laid a lot of groundwork, but we've actually been getting a lot more character development, a little bit more information about the Mandalorian and about Mandalorian lore as we go along. It didn't rush it all into the header episode. So the first episode was the one that had IG-11. That's the one that stood out to me. That's what an episode I really enjoyed, and the aspect of it that I really enjoyed. We had the Jawa episode with the Jawa Sandcrawler. That one was a little bit slower paced, a little bit less happened, but I actually really enjoyed seeing Jawas inside a Sandcrawler. It's a funny thing. It harks back to my memories of Star Wars A New Hope and what little we saw of Jawas in the Sandcrawler. But around that time, there was sort of Ralph McQuarrie concept art that showed Jawa encampments and Jawa Sandcrawlers with the front door opened, and it kind of has always left me wondering what the life of a Jawa is like. And that sounds a little bit funny, but I did enjoy seeing that aspect of that Jawa episode.
Well, Jawa's one of those classic Star Wars elements that's just been there since the first movie. They show up in cantinas and different stories and things like that all over the place, but you don't really ever get too much sort of knowledge or exploration about them. You know, we didn't really see much of their culture besides A New Hope, and it's just kind of fun to kind of explore that just a little bit.
Yeah, we'll probably hopefully see a little bit more of that, but more reference to original trilogy type material. So episode 3 was the episode where he delivered the child, the asset, to the
client.
Yeah, to the client, but then had a change of heart, and that was really well executed. I know that tugged at people's heartstrings, really wondering. I mean, I guess we kind of knew that was how it's going to pan out on one level, but it was still executed in a way where we almost doubted ourselves and wasn't really sure how hard the Mandalorian was going to be, whether it'd have a soft side and how much of that we were going to see. That was an interesting turn and an interesting reveal, I think, in many ways.
Yeah, it was a sort of a big eye-opener to the sort of direction and sort of character development that we were going to see this character go through. Because we see him in the first one, you know, just like abruptly attacking people. And we see the sort of the classic bounty hunter mode of, you know, shoot first, ask questions later type deal. But it was neat to see the sort of the conflict that he's having.
Yeah. And so that was episode 3. That was the one that was actually, if I remember correctly, directed by Deborah Chow, who will be working on the Obi-Wan series. So that was interesting to get a taste of how she handles things in the Star Wars universe. in episode 4, which just screened a little over a week ago now, is the one that was directed by Bryce Dallas Howard, daughter of Ron Howard, who directed Solo, A Star Wars Story, of course. And that episode was a tight, self-contained episode with the Mandalorian trying to get away from the bounty hunters, from the guild that had been tracking him, going to a backwater planet and encountering the Krill farmers. A lot of people have talked about how that has been influenced by samurai and western movies of the past, and it used a lot of story elements, so it's quite predictable on the whole, but I think it was still, I personally really enjoyed it, and it still felt very Star Wars-y, particularly with the obvious inclusion of the AT-ST Walker, which was unique enough, it had enough unique aspects to really keep us entertained and feel like it was more than just it felt like it was a character in its own right in some ways. I felt it was slightly aged and it had some really cool noise and sound effects, and they played it well.
Yeah, the story is not an uniquely original story. We've certainly seen it in sci-fi stories before, but to me it sort of harkened back to the Ewoks.
Yeah.
So it sort of felt like referencing other Star Wars stories in there, but with sort of a, you know,
it had an Endor vibe.
Yeah.
One way or another. Yeah. And that, yeah, like I said, that was self-contained, so we're not quite sure where we're going to go with the subsequent episodes. Without getting into too much speculation, there's still things we know that are going to crop up that have shown up in trailers. There's going to be encounters with Moff Gideon, from memory, that's his name, from the Imperial Remnant. See what sort of role he's going to play. We know that we're actually going to see some TIE fighters come into play. And there's an overall arc related to the Baby Yoda, to the child, that is completely unresolved. And I'm not sure where they're going to leave that, whether that's going to be fully wrapped up or that's going to be something that somehow flows on into the subsequent seasons. I'm not sure that it will, but really unknown where they're going to go with that. We'll see.
It's really quite impressive to see just the each episode blows me away by the special effects, the really sort of blurring of what is puppeted and what is real, what's a physical prop. And I remember back in the prequel era when George Lucas and Rick McCollum were working on the prequels, and people were starting to, that was when you really started to get that sort of a desire for a TV show. And they'd always said that, you know, it was something that they wanted to do and that they'd looked into it, but it was basically down to the technology and the budget was not there to do a Star Wars live action series the way that they had wanted to do. And obviously we've had to wait a few years for it, but I am just like, this is just like the perfect right time, particularly with the, I think it needed, streaming needed to happen so that we could get a Star Wars live action show like this, where it looks like the Star Wars movies. It doesn't look like a scaled back version, like you see with some other franchises where there's a difference between the weekly episodes and then the huge big grandeur of epic sort of battles and things like that you get in the movies. It's just really neat to get bite-sized Star Wars every week, and it's a realm that I think fans haven't really ever sort of really experienced before. Sure, we've had the animated shows, but I just see people really reacting to The Mandalorian in a way that I didn't quite see as much. There's always a core fandom that will just devour any Star Wars content, comics, video games, animated shows, but then there's a proportion of people that feel they wanted to sort of stay focused and dedicated to the live action stories like the movies, and this feels on the same level with that. So you're seeing people getting really anxious about, you know, we watched this episode, what's going to happen next? We have to wait a whole week to see the next one. And it's just really exciting. Each episode asks some questions. We don't know what's going to happen with the next one.
Yeah, well, they're certainly aided by a pretty significant budget, but without a doubt the technology is in the right place and they're able to use the technology very efficiently, you know, to really make these look like they've, you know, the same level of quality as the movies. But speaking of the movies, I mean, the timing also means that they're able to use physical assets, physical props from the movies, so that is 100% the same as the movies, because it is the exact same things. I mean, the Stormtroopers and, you know, Imperial stuff, even just deep background stuff, I'm sure, has come from other movie sets. They're just reusing it, and that's a great thing that really, really makes it feel like it's come from the movies. Okay, so this podcast is going to go live on Friday. It'll be a few hours before the fifth episode. I believe the fifth episode is both written and directed by Filoni. And I've had people who are in the know say that that should be one to watch out for, so we'll see how that pans out. The story arc wrapped up with episode 4, so we're expecting something completely new, a little bit of a new direction with episode 5, and I can't wait for that. And it's probably only hours away by the time this goes live. And you touched on it just a few sentences back, and I think it really is interesting. I mean, I haven't felt like, well, since I was a kid really, that feeling, that sensation of waiting for a particular day in the week where an episode of something is going to come out. A week is just about revolving around the release of The Mandalorian on Friday nights at the moment. Okay, so stay tuned when we podcast again next week. We're going to talk about episode 5, which will have screened by then, and hopefully everyone will have had a chance to watch it. But I think we'll probably dig a little bit deeper into some of the other Mandalorian episodes and the story arc as a whole from episodes 1 through 5 when we talk about this again next week in the next episode of the S2NZ podcast. Let's get back to some of the other things that we talk about when we do our podcasts, in particular looking at store reports that we've covered on the S2NZ website. So all of these you can jump onto the S2NZ website and get a lot more detail, and in most cases links through to the actual products on the online stores. But just a few highlights just to bring to your attention. We talked about today that Mighty Ape, as well as having lots of things that you can buy for Christmas presents, Star Wars Christmas presents for yourselves or other fans that you know, you can also wrap them up in Star Wars Christmas paper and slap a Star Wars Christmas tag, present tag on it. Both of those are Imperial themed Darth Vader and Stormtroopers. Check those out online. Everyone's been wanting to know when we're going to see a lot more merchandise from The Mandalorian, especially the Baby Yoda, which was obviously kept under wraps until the episode screened. Doesn't look like we're going to see it in the next few months, probably mostly next year, not even necessarily in the first quarter, but the Funko Pop vinyl figure of the Baby Yoda is up for pre-order on Mighty Ape. That comes in two sizes, a standard size and a 10-inch size. The 10-inch size is, even though it's a slightly stylized representation, is basically life-size, so I think that's going to go down well. They're available for pre-order on Mighty Ape. Those links are on the S2NZ website. Posty Plus is a retailer we haven't talked about a lot because they don't have a huge Star Wars range, but they have added a few things over the last couple of months, and they have a new Darth Vader t-shirt for kids that they've just listed for $8. Really good pricing on Posty Plus. There's a few branches still around the country, but I think you can order that one online as well. And the other thing we've talked about a lot on the S2NZ website, because they've been drip feeding them out over the last few weeks, is the new range of Star Wars Adidas shoes. There have been a couple of sub-collections of running shoes. There's also some basketball shoes and some standard kid sneakers. But the most recent range of running shoes, I believe they're all based on pre-existing models of Adidas running shoes, running and jogging shoes. But they've been branded, dressed up with Star Wars character graphics. So on the website now, on the Adidas New Zealand website, and again, links to those via S2NZ, are character shoes featuring Rey, Yoda, Stormtrooper, Darth Vader, Endor, Princess Leia, and R2-D2. For adults, they range between 220 and 250. Most are a unisex style, but the female characters, Rey and Princess Leia, come in a woman's style of running shoe. And a few of those also come in kids' shoes that for the adults, they're priced between $220 and $250. And a little bit earlier, also, there were some vehicle-inspired designs, Death Star, Millennium Falcon, and X-Wing. Spotlight's always had a little bit of Star Wars material, little bits and pieces going on, Star Wars fabric per se, but we've noticed that they've brought in a few lightweight gift idea type products. There's a Death Star maze for $22, Stormtrooper glasses for $16.50. These are tall tumbler style glasses with a embossed Stormtrooper on the front. You can buy a few of those to make up a set. And they've also got an A5 hardcover Crush the Resistance notebook for $18. Star Wars garden statues are back at Bunnings. These are always popular. We bought a couple of those in the past, and they've returned with a few of the same styles, of same characters they've had in the past, but some new ones. These come in a different finish. Previously they were a grey stone finish. I believe these ones are a white marble finish, but they're priced about the same at $28.98. The new characters include Rey, Kylo Ren, a Scarif Shore Trooper, and a First Order Stormtrooper, as well as a Royal Gardener Boba Fett, which I think is rolling out in a separate palette, a separate release.
These are always great fun decorations for around your home or even in your home. I've seen many examples from creative fans that have painted up these large statues as either realistically to make them look like a statue that you can put on a shelf, or artistically with abstract colors and that. They're such a great price point for such a large item that you can put around your house.
Yeah, and the sculpts are really quite nice on the whole. Some characters translate better, but I think the sculpts are really well executed on the whole. The Episode 9 Rise of Skywalker version of the Empire magazine, I think it's actually October issue, but it's on the shelves in New Zealand now in supermarkets and bookstores. That comes with two covers, Rey and Kylo Ren, which seems to be a common division these days in terms of marketing. That has quite a large spread inside with exclusive photos, but also an Episode 9 poster, fold-out poster in the middle. We talked about on the STMZ website Star Wars car seat covers available at Repco, currently priced at $69.99. There's two styles of those. So if you want to dress your car up in a bit of a Star Wars theme, grab that sort of thing. And very popular, when we mentioned this on SWNZ, JJ's has a range of 9 different t-shirts in men's cuts, but 9 different t-shirts, one from each, one featuring movie poster graphics from each of the Star Wars saga movies. They're $25 each, but they currently have a promotion running, buy one, get one half price. EB Games has bought in a few exclusive figures recently, and they have put pre-orders up for a couple of game-inspired characters, a Jedi Revan and a Battlefront Battle Droid. They're quite heavily priced being exclusive products, but if that's the only way we're going to get them, we'll have to seriously consider those pricing. You're quite excited about the Jedi Revan, aren't you?
Yeah, Revan is one of those fan-favorite characters that's persisted, even though the sources where he is most known from are no longer considered canon under the new sort of timelines. So I'm excited to see merchandise still being made for him. As you said, they are priced a little bit more than a standard Black Series figure, but probably comparable to sourcing them from overseas. So at the end of the day, I'm aware that if these are exclusive items, they're more than likely going to be higher priced or at least harder to source, and I'm all for stuff being stocked locally rather than having to go to overseas suppliers for these items.
We've got a few Darth Revan collectibles on display together, including the previous 6-inch release of Darth Revan, so this Jedi Revan's going to look pretty cool next alongside it, I think. And just to wrap up our store reports, check out the warehouse if you're looking for some nice budget level Christmas merchandise. What have they got? They've got a Santa hat. It's pink, isn't it? What's on that Santa hat?
The Santa hat has a picture of R2-D2 and C-3PO on Tatooine with a bit of a pink colour scheme. And there's also a coordinating Santa sack and 2 baubles.
Okay, so there are a few other store reports. I think those are the highlights, but check out SWNZ where we try and keep up to date with new product as it hits New Zealand shelves. We feature that on SWNZ website, but it's also frequently a topic of discussion on the SWNZ Facebook group, where people are able to give store reports about product distribution and about what's available in separate regions. A couple of other things that are just worth talking about before we wrap things up. Christy runs a separate website on Star Wars fashion called The Kessel Runway. That's just had its 5th anniversary. I mentioned that on SWNZ because we consider The Kessel Runway to be a partner site. I want to just quickly introduce The Kessel Runway and let us know, you know, how things are going with the timing of your 5th anniversary.
The Kessel Runway website was born out of my search for women's Star Wars fashion. Star Wars fashion is a lot harder to find in New Zealand compared to overseas, and women's styles even more so. There are only a few retailers in New Zealand that ever stock it, so I was spending more and more time hunting out items from the US and decided to start a website to sort of track it, blog about it, and share what I was finding. And of course, this was before Disney bought Lucasfilm, and since then we have seen Star Wars merchandising skyrocket. There is so much available these days, and it's been really neat tracking that growth in the world of Star Wars collectibles and fashion over the past 5 years. The website's given me some really great opportunities. I've been fortunate enough to be able to present panels at Star Wars Celebration 2 years running. So I've been able to attend the conventions in the US and get to celebrate Star Wars with so many other fans.
Yeah, and speaking of those presentations, we aim to get your most recent one re-recorded for clarity and put online, don't we? So check out the Kessel Runway website if you want to hear a bit of a general presentation about Star Wars fashion over the years. The other bit of news that I did mention on SWNZ as an update is that we have the SWNZ Canon Timeline, which is an index of all of the novels, movies, TV series and games. That's accessible through the top bar on the SWNZ website. That has just gone through an update and an overhaul. We do that, the purpose of that page and project is to give you a bit of a chronological list of all the different material that's available, and we have links through to retailers that sell the books themselves or the other products and the other tie-ins, and you can price compare between retailers. So check that out if you're interested in just seeing what the total overall breadth of Star Wars material is and finding out what you may have missed and may want to catch up on. That's about it for this week, so I guess we're done doing talking. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned to our website, eastevenz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders and our next weekly podcast episode. Follow our Facebook page and social media and chat with other fans in the Star Wars New Zealand Facebook group and website forums. Thank you for listening.
And may the Force be with you.